Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
What happens is at the end of our process, the student has to present to their accountability partner and to their parents to say, "Mom and Dad, these are my strengths and weaknesses as accounted by 8 trusted advisors. These are my values and this is why they're important. This is my secret power, my distinct natural ability. These are my lifetime goals in the areas of health, wealth, wisdom, and relationships. These are my 3 majors that I'm going to have." And it's kind of a drop the mic moment because that drives the accountability because the parents go, "How did you do that?"
So that was Greg Langston from College Flight Plan. I actually interviewed him first for Ask Pat. He actually asked for some coaching and for some help. And when I discovered exactly what Greg does, I knew I needed to bring him on to the Smart Passive Income podcast. Why? Because not only is he a successful business owner, but he's helping a lot of people and the passion really, really shines through. And the positioning of the business relative to who it is that he's serving, both students and parents, is really interesting and really intricate and amazing. And I 100% know this is going to inspire you. So I'm really looking forward to having you listen to this show. In fact, we're about to begin. So sit back, get that popcorn ready, go out on that run, maybe not at the same time. Anyway, I'm just so grateful you're here. And I'm so grateful for Greg Langston from College Flight Plan. Here he is.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later.
And now your host. He used the pandemic to learn that slowing down is the best way to speed up. Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Ditch the busy work, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. You can get unparalleled access to job seekers with over 350 million unique visitors globally, according to Indeed data, and an extended reach through Glassdoor. I love how adaptable Indeed is, and it's just your all-in-one hiring platform. You can do everything on there, interviews, messaging. There's nothing else that you need. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. Greg, welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be here, Pat.
This is your second time with me, first time on the show, but you were with me on Ask Pat recently. And I was so enthralled. I was so excited about what it is that you do. I just needed to bring you here so I could uncover more about how you've gotten to where you're at. And I wanted to amplify that message for you because I think it's really special what it is that you're doing. Can you tell everybody what it is that you do?
Sure. And it's great. It's a privilege to be here on the second time. And I'm the co-founder of College Flight Plan. And in a nutshell, what we do is we help students figure out what their core values are, what their strengths are, and what their weaknesses are, what they're passionate about and naturally gifted to do, so that they can choose a college major or a vocation. If they do choose to go to college, we want them to graduate in 4 years and have a fulfilling career. Now, why do we do this? The fact is that only 40% of college graduates graduate in 4 years. Fully 60% of college students graduate in 6 years, and that's because they're changing their majors at least 3 times. And so as we help students go through this process, we find them experiencing a transformation where they get clarity in the sense that they know what their values are, what their purpose is, what they should study. They gain a sense of confidence by saying, hey, listen, this is how I can articulate myself through my elevator speech or through a written admissions essay. And they also have a sense of control because they say, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. I don't have to run around with my hair on fire, or my parents for that matter. And in so doing, they might be able to save themselves and their family between $50,000 and $160,000.
Yeah, a lot of money in that decision-making process, for sure.
Absolutely.
At what age do you start working with the kids on this?
Typically sophomores, although we have some students. We have one student right now who we're working with who is a highly motivated freshman. And he's just freaking out because he wants to get to an Ivy League school. And he suffers from dealing with procrastination and was only getting 1 or 2 hours of sleep a day. And I'm saying, dude, you're not going to survive if you're doing that. You've got to figure out how you specify what's important to you and work through a process. And now he's getting 8 hours of sleep. His grades are improving just with a few little tweaks that we help the student.
That's amazing.
But typically it's sophomore or juniors.
And what encouraged you to start going down this process and helping people online with this?
Well, it's interesting. By the time my son and his sister were 13, our son was 13, they'd both been to 12 different schools in 5 different countries because I had an international career, international business guy. And so they learned all these languages and they learned about cultures. In fact, and when they were in Singapore, they had 76 nationalities in the same school. And so that was all great. But then when we brought them back to the United States, because we wanted to prepare them for middle school, getting into high school, we found that there was no training for self-discovery 20 years ago, and there's still none now. And so what we did is we said, how can we fix this? And at the same time, I was getting executive training, running big companies over $1 billion, and they spent over $600,000 on my training. And so I said, well, why did I have to wait 20 years to learn this stuff? Why can't we teach young people to do this, these life lessons on how to determine your values, how to set up goals, how to inspire other people? And so my wife and I said, why don't we teach high school kids to do this? And so we started with our kids and son and daughter. We didn't break them. They've gone on to be very successful. And then we started doing workshops. So this was over 20 years ago. Then with the advent of COVID, we put it all online.
Wow. So this is pretty recent that this has been coming online. What's that been like?
It's been excellent, simply because we have a global audience now. It's not just a finite group of people in a room over several sessions over several days. We're able to address people from the United States, people in Colombia. We have people who are in Albania who actually, interestingly enough, he is the nephew of somebody that we trained 20 years ago.
No way.
And this person we trained 20 years ago, Ulti, he's just been named recently top 20 professionals in Miami under 40. He uses a lot of these tools and he thought so much of it that he actually sponsored his nephew who was in Albania to go through this process. And now he's going to school in the United States as well.
That's incredible. When it comes to positioning this program, are you selling to students? Are you selling to the adults or the parents? How are you getting the message out there? Or are you working with organizations or even schools to run the program through?
Well, as we mentioned during the ASPAT session, I was trying to make sure that I properly bifurcated between approaching the students and approaching the parents.
Right.
Because once a student realizes that you're speaking to their parent, their eyes roll in the back of their head. So we have to, and with your guidance, we've been able to differentiate. I still haven't done TikTok. I'm on it, but I still haven't done TikTok yet. I'm going to figure that out. I'm still exploring that. But yes, very clearly, you have to present to the students to say, listen, this is important. Pre-COVID, only 33% of high school students are engaged in school. This is pre-COVID. So just imagine what it is now, 33, 34%. And in middle school, it's 75%. You need to be engaged to figure out what it is you want to do. Get off your social media feed because that is a false promise. And you have to figure out what you're uniquely gifted to do. That's from the student's perspective. We then also present the information to the parents and to institutions to say, this is how we can help your young people figure out what they want to do.
That's great. I mean, it's so important to be able to know who it is that you're speaking to. And in many cases, you know, this is going to be the parents who ultimately have, you know, the credit card or the payment to offer you. How do you convince a child or a kid or a high school kid to tell their parents to go through with the program? How does that work normally?
Well, what we do is it's typically a conversation that leads with the parent. You know, that's the way it works because the parent says, hey, this program's great. I saw your blog post. My son or daughter needs to see this. And so we get on a Zoom call with them and it's rather humorous. The first thing the kid says, we ask them the question, are you here because your parents said so? And they go, yeah. And I said, you probably think this is really lame. And they go, yeah. So then what we do is we say, listen, how about if you do this process and you're going to be able to know what your values are, what your goals are, what your secret superpowers are, what your majors are going to be, and it's all about you, then they start getting interested. And so what we're doing is through the blog posts and the resources that we're putting on the site for students, that will cause them enough interest to say, hey, mom and dad, check this out, or vice versa. And a blog post with a parent will say, if you want to send something about procrastination or something about establishing your core values, which we're speaking to you in, send this link, which is written to your son or daughter, and it's written to a child, to a teen versus a parent. And so that's the way we're able to bifurcate.
I love that. And when you start working with the family, who are you working with and what's like the initial process like?
Well, the initial process is as the creators of this process and a family going to invest $1,000, depending upon the program, $1,000 or $4,000. And admittedly, they can save between $50,000 and $160,000. That's still a big spend. And so what we do is we get on a Zoom call and we walk them through the visual course. We show them what is expected, how they work. And something that we've added, because our $4,000 program is a facilitated program that some families can afford and say, listen, my son or daughter will not listen to me as much as they'll listen to you. So please take them on this mentored process. If it's a young woman, Beth takes it. If it's a man, a young man, then I take the mentoring process and we take them through that process. What we do find, though, is that some people, they know their son or daughter has the capability, but does not have the follow through. And so what we've created are tools, facilitator guide for the parent, for financial advisor, in case the family has a financial advisor and everybody listens to Joe. Then you give Joe the facilitator guide to work with their son or daughter. Or if it's in a school environment, or for example, as I mentioned to you, I would like to get into Chick-fil-A. If it's in a company environment, we have an instructor facilitator guide that can take the student through and be their accountability partner.
I love that. And then how do you ensure that follow through does happen? Are there any particular things that you do? Because we have a lot of people listening, myself included, who facilitate education and we help people through certain processes. What are some things that you in your program do to increase the likelihood that there is follow through. I think a part of it would be the investment is quite large. So, you know, there's a lot of skin in the game, but even then it's the kid who needs to do the work. How do you encourage that?
Well, what we've done is we've observed with our own kids when they were going to school. We ask, how was school? And they go, fine. How was that program you went to? Great. What did you learn? Nothing. What we've done is we've said, listen, this is extremely important. You need to pick an accountability partner, and typically it's a parent, that you will report out to during the course of the process, and you meet during the course of this process. And the reason it's important is if a student, or any of us for that matter, say that we're going to do something, the likelihood of completing that is single digit. If you say to your ecosystem, hey, listen, I'm going to run a 10K, everybody hear that, and I'm going to lose 10 pounds, the likelihood is 65%. If you have an accountability partner who's accountable to you, then that increases to 95%. And so what happens is at the end of our process, instead of just saying, yeah, you're done with the course, the student has to present to their accountability partner and to their parents to say, mom and dad, these are my strengths and weaknesses as accounted by 8 trusted advisors. These are my values, and this is why they're important. This is my secret power, my distinct natural ability that I know how I can contribute in any environment, in any situation. These are my lifetime goals in the areas of health, wealth, wisdom, and relationships. These are my 3 majors that I'm going to have. Here's my elevator speech that I want to share with you that they've memorized, which is a 150-word, 1-minute elevator speech. And it's kind of a drop the mic moment, because that drives the accountability, because the parents go, how did you do that? And just have one student we finished with who we've been working with, and he was first generation born in the United States, comes from a Vietnamese family, and they have done everything to help this young student. And at the beginning of the process, he had no clue. You know, I just want to go hang out with my friends. So what is it you want to study? I don't know. You know, what do you want to do in the future? Well, I want to go on nice vacations like I do with my parents. That progressed till the end when he had his accountability review with his parents, where he basically went through and shared that information. And they were like flabbergasted, like, how did you do this? So it is a process that we know works. It's not just from a school perspective. My wife is an educator by training. I'm a business person by training. And what we've done is we've taken these lessons into micro lessons. They're 2.5-minute increments on average. Each of the videos are over 66 videos. And it just tells the student, do this, now do this, now do this. And so we found it to be very effective.
That's incredible. And I do have to plus one the accountability partner. I mean, inside of SPI Pro, a huge value that a lot of people are getting are the connections they have with their mastermind group and the accountability partners that they have there. And so if you are teaching online, in any case, you know, having a DIY course is good and it can help a person through a process, especially if they're motivated. But the likelihood of them completing that is far less than if they had some sort of coach or mentor to sort of hold themselves accountable to. So I definitely wanted to plus one that. Can you describe a little bit about how you position values to a high school kid? I think that that word often gets thrown around, not just in that part of a person's life, but especially in this world of entrepreneurship. Provide value, know what your values are, what are your company values? How would you describe what value actually means in the way that you use it for your student?
If you imagine a very big tree with a deep root system, and you look at a cutaway of the root system that holds that tree up are the values. And so the values are key to any process like this. The tree trunk is your purpose in terms of something that's larger than you, and the branches are your goals and objectives. And so all students are going to go through the trials of life where the storm hits the tree. And if you have a shallow root system, it's going to topple over. We teach the student to say, with that in mind, which values are important to you? And we take them through an interactive process. Why are these values important to you? They go from a selection process of 63 down to 3 core values. They have primary and core values. And then we say, why are these important to you? What should you start doing to make this important? What should you stop doing that you're currently doing that is distracting from this value, and what you should continue doing? And so what that does is it allows a student to walk away when they're not with their parent, when they're by themselves, and they're making a decision relative to integrity. For example, should I cheat on this test? If my number one value is integrity, no, I shouldn't do that. And we take them through a gating process where they go through the sequence of all 3 values to make sure that they're working in alignment with their values. I know that each student understands that.
Yeah, it acts as sort of a guiding post for behavior, for decisions, and what to say yes to, what to say no to. And I think that's really important. I think that this is why companies need values and need to understand what it is that they're shooting for. And that way, decisions are much easier made within a company and within an entrepreneur, especially for a kid at that point. I mean, I'm imagining you might have a few students who come in and just go, I don't care about this. Or like, you know, they push back a little bit. And how do you work with maybe a student who might be a little bit more difficult or not quite yet understanding the value of ultimately what the course can offer them?
We have gone through hundreds of students, and admittedly, some are more difficult than others. Others, you just let them go and man, they rip through it. Others are more challenging, like the one individual I mentioned from Vietnam who just didn't want, he just wants to go hang out with his friends. And so you just need to come alongside the student and say, listen, this is all about you. It's not what your mom wants, not what your dad wants. This is about you to figure out what you want. And once they start seeing the flywheel effect of, oh, this is what I'm really good at. Oh, this is what I suck at. And I should probably work on that. This is what people are telling me through 200 data points confidentially. They gain a sense of confidence that they currently don't get in school. I mean, there are on average 424 college counselors students for every college counselor in the United States. And in California, where you and I both live, it's 900 students per counselor. So for parents to think that they're going to get that individualized attention, they're not.
I love the way that it just so seamlessly comes off of your tongue as far as like how to respond to different situations. You're using proof, you're using numbers and all this stuff. How long did it take you when you started this program to really understand the words to say to convince a person on the other end that this is exactly what you need without even feeling silly or aggressive?
Well, that's where being part of the SPI community has helped me, because as I told you in Ask Pat, I knew nothing about marketing in the electronic arena, in the internet and so forth. And what I've been able to do is through your guidance, be able to say, okay, this is where my clients and the parents hang out. What is the language that they're using? What are the pain points that they have? How are we addressing the transformation? Because they don't care about its 12-hour process. They don't care about kids watching videos. They want to know, what is the transformation that my kid's going to have? And so that's what I focused on. And again, with being part of SPI, I learned how to be on podcasts and have been on close to 70 podcasts in the last 6 months. This was going to be, you know, one more that I'm very thankful to be on. That's allowed me to increase my message and to more effectively articulate the message.
I mean, I know that to be true from my perspective, having gone on many podcasts, having recorded many podcasts, you just get better at communicating what works. You can get an immediate read on the stories that you're telling and which ones are good and which ones are bad, or which data sets that you share that actually make an impact. And when you say things like, you know, for every one counselor, you know, they have 924 students. I mean, that paints a picture that completely sells without you even having to say it, the program that you're offering and why it exists. It counters objections. It supports the existence of the solution. And I absolutely love that. So is podcasting, guest podcasting, a primary method of marketing the program?
It has been, although what we're doing now is we have a series of assessments that we have developed and quizzes that will help format clarity in the student's mind to say, hey, this is an area that I should look at. And what we do is we have free assessments on our website. We're up to 8 different assessments that we encourage them to take them. You can pay for assessments as well, but I've curated about 7 or 8 really good assessments. Then we encourage our students to go to 3 or 4 of them. They may get one in school, but they need to pick out going through one survey in school that takes 15 minutes and it says you're going to be a garbage collector shouldn't be what determines what you're going to do with the rest of your life. You need to really do some more discovery.
I took that test. I'm trying to remember exactly what it told me, but it was a bunch of questions, you know, and then they give you this dot matrix looking paper that tells you you're more qualified to be this versus this. And I just was like, oh, okay, I guess this is the career I'm going down. And I never really thought about the fact that, well, how do they know that just based on a few minutes of answering questions and they're already telling me what I should do? Like, they don't know me. They don't know what I think is important or who I am. Maybe I had it off test day or what have you, right? Yet they're deciding my whole life. So I love this idea of something that's a little bit deeper for sure. So guest podcasting has been a method. How are you You had mentioned like going into different places where your target audience exists. Like, what are those places and how are you going in there without seemingly going in there and just spamming?
Well, first and foremost, I don't plug my product. What I do is answer questions and answer the specific question that they have and engage in a conversation. And at some point, they're going to say, Greg, can you tell me more? Hey, let's exchange. Let's connect on LinkedIn or what have you. How can you help me? My son has some particular issues that he or she, son or daughter, are trying to deal with, and let's connect. It can't be an overt sale because that doesn't work. I don't want to come across as salesy. What I want to do is serve but earn at the same time. And I'm passionate about this because I see the transformation that takes place in the kids and in the families. When you have a parent who weeps and says, you're my son and I knew this much about you, but I had no idea that these were your other aspirations. I'm so thankful that we went through this program. I mean, that drives me to continue to do this work.
I love that. And first of all, I just love the visual of what a win looks like. I think that's really important for anybody creating anything is like, what does that ultimate form of success look like? And it's not money in the bank account. It's the student and the parent having this defined future now together and a better relationship likely as a result too. And then the earnings are a byproduct of that, right? And I also love what you said about going into like a forum, for example, or like what kinds of places are you going into to be helpful? Are you going to like Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups and things like that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I love how you're going in there and you're like, I'm just going to be there to answer questions and help. And I found the exact same thing happened when I started my architecture online business back in 2008. I went into different forums and bulletin boards. They were called bulletin boards like back then. And I just started answering as many questions as I could. And eventually people started reaching out to me directly and saying, hey, do you have any more information? Or you seem to be an expert on this, even though I wasn't, but I was in their eyes because I was the one who was actively trying to help out as much as possible. And I remember my day consisted of 2 hours in the morning, just going in and answering every question that was left hanging that nobody else had answered yet. And of course, people see that, even people who aren't even engaged in the conversation see that. And they start to paint a picture of like how helpful you could be. And then in those forums, you would have like a byline where you can put in your product or your website or something. And that was a great way to get exposure. Now it's your profile or like you said, your LinkedIn page or other things like that. So I love how it's similar, but using different tools and mechanisms now. When people start to engage with you, either from a podcast guest spot or on a social media platform. I mean, it's a big ask to pay $1,000. Like, is it a call that happens first? Are you driving people toward a call or like what initiates the sales process for you?
Well, it's typically after a podcast, for example, your audience will get access to a guide that provides a comprehensive guide for parents to help guide their students as to what they should go through if they're considering college or a vocation. Because not necessarily everybody is set to go to college. And you can save a lot of money and a lot of angst if you determine that ahead of time instead of wasting hundreds of thousands of dollars. We do that. We also have free calls where people can call us up. I'm also developing a resource page that has 106 different resources that I'm going to use for SEO purposes. It should be out this week. That is, to my knowledge, the most comprehensive college application resource page that has everything from assessments to books to courses to help from the government to scholarships, so people can find us through that. And I'll be using SEO to do that. The other thing is writing blog posts specifically to students and or to parents on the pain points of going through this process.
Amazing. Are you doing anything on the back end of the program, meaning after a program is done, for somebody to collect a testimonial and use that as far as marketing material is concerned? And if so, like, what's the process of the ask? I'm curious. A lot of people have a problem asking for testimonials because they feel bad about it sometimes. How do you go about doing that?
Again, I went through I think that's been discussed at length within SPI Pro. And what I've done is I will have a Zoom call with a customer and or their parents and say, I'm going to ask you questions relative to the experience that you or your son or daughter had. And what we'll do is I will capture that information. I will send it to you. It's not a video, although I know Bonjoro has a new application that you can do video testimonials, which I think is pretty cool. But it is written down. I send it to them for their approval. And then if they approve it, then I put it on my site.
Nice. It's as easy as that. I like the framework of, you know, hey, I'm just going to ask you questions about your experience in the program and not having it be a direct ask for a testimonial, but you are letting them know where it's eventually going to end up. Oftentimes when you ask for a testimonial directly like that, you'll have just people say, Greg's program was great. I highly recommend it to everybody. And it doesn't really talk about the experience. I think the experience through a program and then getting into, if possible, the transformation. Where were you before and what did you think or what were your expectations or what were your challenges? And then where are you now? Because ultimately that's what people want. You had mentioned that earlier. People want the transformation. They want ultimately what the end result will be. They don't want the training. They don't want the course. They don't want the book or the program. They want the result of what I could offer them. And hopefully the program is backed enough by others with testimonials to convince a person that, yes, this is worthwhile. It's proven. It will actually help out. And that's where those testimonials come in.
And the result that we've been doing it face-to-face for 20 years has allowed us to determine and have some testimonials that are quite valuable. And I don't put something up that's not true. And so what we've done also is use the facts. I mean, I think I shared with you on the last call, 87% of young people between the ages of 16 and 29, 87% say they have no purpose or meaning. Think about that.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
9 out of every 10 kids.
That is all the more reason that I'm passionate about getting this out to people because they need direction. I received a call yesterday from a person. And I said, how did you find out about it? And she said, research. And she says, I just need direction. Can you please help me? I don't know what I do. I dropped out of school when I was 13. I'm finishing my high school degree. I'm 23 years old. I have 3 months more to go, and I need direction. And I want to do a lot of things with my life. I screwed up. I was a runaway, and I want to do things that are good for the world. And I mean, that's some of the experiences that you have.
Wow. What are some of the challenges that you've faced as you're growing your business that we can talk about just for a little bit? Because everything sounds rosy right now, but I'm sure there were challenges along the way, as there always are. I'd love to know what maybe some of the bigger challenges were and how you overcame them.
Some of the bigger challenges were having a site on WordPress and it crashing and your customer wants to pay you $4,000 and it doesn't work.
When did that happen?
A year ago.
What would you have done differently if you could go back?
I would have said, okay, I will invoice you and don't go through my shopping cart that's not working right now. I will invoice you directly and you can pay me. And so then the person got cold feet and decided not to do it.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Was that like a human-made error as far as the shopping cart? Or was that just like sometimes there's just glitches in the matrix, you know, and there's nothing you could have done about it?
I think it's probably a mixture of both.
Okay.
And I assume responsibility for that. So that's a challenge. Another one is you have people who call you and you have a conversation and they say they want to do something. They want to go forward. And then they turn around and they say, well, I don't really want to do that, or it's not for me. And that's okay. It may not be for everybody, but it is for the people that we're able to serve. I think the technological challenges have been some. I've learned a lot. Man, I've learned a tremendous amount as a result of going through this process. The content works. The content is excellent. I even had a UX developer go through and try and crash the system, try and crash the learning management system to make sure that it's bulletproof, which was part of the process that we've gone through. And I feel confident with that.
Love it. Thank you for sharing that. Final question, Greg, is related to your workload running a business like this. I'm curious to know what your day-to-day is like and like how many hours are you putting into this? Is how passive is it versus how not passive it might be? And then we can get into a little bit of, you know, plans for the future and where we go from here. So tell me about your workload a little bit and what your week is like.
I treat this as a business and it's 5 days a week. 6 days a week at times. I try to separate my time between content creation, optimization of the site, SEO, developing new ideas, tweaking the offering to, for example, before at the very beginning, we did not have the facilitator guides. But then with feedback from the customers, we said, okay, some people are struggling to get through this. Even though they're smart kids, they just get distracted. What if we gave the facilitator guide that teaches them just like we teach them to go through? That's the learning, the constant learning. So we go through that and we do the one-on-one mentoring for some of the students to pay the $4,000. Plus we have the 1 hour calls with each person that buys a $1,000 program. So basically you're doing this full time.
So it's like a full-time business, but at least it sounds like you have your weekends and it doesn't bleed over as much as possible. I mean, there are going to be times when there's projects and things like that. So you'll have to sort of add in additional time, but It sounds like you're treating this like kind of like a 9-to-5. And how do you feel about that? Because I know a lot of us who are entrepreneurs, we want to try to break away from the 9-to-5. We want to remove as much work from our plate as possible. But in many cases, that's not always possible. And I'd love to know your take on that.
Number one, I'm passionate about what I'm doing. I can see the direct result of what it's doing for others. It's not just doing for me. With a 9-to-5 job, you're getting paid a salary. You're paid to show up. What I'm driving is the transformation in the kids. I'm trying to get that 87% of lack of purpose down. I'm trying to get that engagement of 33% of high school students to go up and reduce the cost for the families and the student to go to college or not to go to college. And so that in itself is a motivator for me. You know, I'm doing this after I'm over 60. I'm doing this after a very successful corporate career. This is a passion project that makes me money and drives enhanced lifestyle that I want to do. And it allows me to do something with my spouse, who has an IQ of over 145. She's brilliant. And her expertise is essay editing, which I'd rather have a 13-inch knitting needle pushed into my face. But she loves to do that kind of stuff. And so, yes, we're treating this as a full-time activity, and we'll do that for the foreseeable future.
I love it. And as far as the future, what maybe new things are coming or people can get excited about in case they're curious about what's coming next?
We just outlined a new book that we have that we'll be producing that's called The College Flight Plan, that really provides, like our name, guidance, guardrails for the student and their family to go through the process. We're going to have an essay writing course that takes what we teach a student to put in their application essays through one-on-one coaching. We're putting that online that will be complemented by the coaching. And right now, what I'm interested in doing is focusing on predominantly private schools. Word of mouth, obviously, is key. And then also for very vision, values-based private entities, companies like, as we said, Chick-fil-A and companies like that. I want to work with them, and we can find some licensing arrangement. We're working with the largest YMCA in the world because they're looking to enhance their students, the people that work at the YMCA, and provide them some extra value. So we're talking with them as well.
Great. It's been incredibly inspiring. Thank you so much for giving us some insight on how you do what you do and what the business is about. But more importantly, the vision that you have and the values that you're providing for these incredible students and parents of yours. Just super cool. This is why I wanted to bring you on, because I'm inspired. I likely will be reaching out to you in the future about this stuff with regards to my kids, I'm sure. One more time, where can people go to follow along, to get more information, all the good things?
They can go to collegeflightplan.com, or if they want to have some more information, they can go to collegeflightplan.com/guide, and they'll get a PDF that has quite a bit of information to help a student get and be successful in their college years.
Love it. Greg, thank you. Thank you to your wife as well for the work that she's doing in this too. And want to wish you all the best.
Thanks, Pat. Been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Greg Langston. If you want more information about what he's got going on, collegeflightplan.com/guide, which is where I would recommend you go, or just collegeflightplan.com. Greg, thank you so much for coming on and all the inspiration. If you want to get the links and everything we mentioned on this episode over at the show notes page, just go to smartpassiveincome.com/session593. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/session593. And as you heard inside of this episode as well, Greg is a member of SPI Pro. And as you can see, a lot of learnings and takeaways for all the members there. And I hope you do get encouraged to apply. All you have to do is go to spipro.com and see if it's the right fit for you there. That's where you can apply. And we hope to see you in there. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you, and I look forward to serving you in the next episode. Make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss that, and be sure to check out the other episodes coming your way. Thanks so much. I appreciate you. Peace out. And as always, Team Flynn for the win. Cheers. Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski. And our executive producer is Matt Gartland. Sound editing by Duncan Brown. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Hey, Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include a man who looted $100 million from his own company. Crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.